gave me the wisdom and the know-how to put this together properly. We're going to be talking about the mind this morning. I just want to pray over these notes over here, because if I don't pray over them, the Holy Spirit does not take these notes. It's just reading off a piece of paper. So, Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you in that wonderful name, the gracious name of Jesus. Lord, I just present these notes to you. Lord, take them. Speak to us, Lord. May you speak and not me, Lord. That whatever I say, Lord, will be you speaking through me. And Lord, we just pray you would open the hearts and the ears of those who are listening. Lord, may this word go forth properly. May it be received as you want it to be received. May you bless this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to speak about the mind this morning. Last week we spoke about who we accept into our lives. And now with discussion, we spoke about the phenomenal qualities in the character and personality of Jesus. We said that he is magnificent, more than wonderful, more than amazing, mind-boggling, undefined and indescribable, and the list goes on and on about Jesus. All this being true, as we said, I'm going to go over it again, magnificent, more than wonderful, more than amazing, mind-boggling, undefined, indescribable character and personality of Jesus. All this being true, wouldn't we want to accept Jesus not only into our hearts, but also into our minds? This morning, I would like to speak about genuinely accepting the Lord into our minds, protection for the mind, and giving control of our minds to Jesus. Since the mind controls everything that we say and do, shouldn't we give control of it to Jesus? The mind controls everything. Your brain controls us. It's our boss. If that's the case, then it is, why not give control of our brain, our mind, to Jesus? As we give our hearts to Jesus, let's give our minds to him. So a brief description of the mind. And we know that the brain is a phenomenal organ. And I know Brother Mike could appreciate this. He works in mental health over at Clara Moss. The brain is a phenomenal organ. God has given it, along with the heart, a prioritized blood supply, and so that it can function properly. It is responsible for all that we think, say, and do. As we know, the brain controls all our movements. It is responsible for our actions, our speech, our thoughts, our habits, our attitude, our moods, our emotions, our learning capabilities, all of our abilities. It also is responsible for processing of input from our five senses, which are sight, hearing, smell, taste, and feeling. We could have those senses working, but if the information isn't processed in the brain, we wouldn't know what we are looking at or what we smelled, what we heard. So the brain is processing all of that information. It is a phenomenal computer with great storage capabilities. Now, what man is trying to do on computers today with storage capacity and things like that, God did from the time of creation. We should value our brain, our mind, by how we care for it. Now, we want to care for our brains, our minds. Proper diet, proper exercise, and proper thoughts. To keep your mind healthy. The best care for your mind is giving it to Jesus, just as we gave our hearts to him. What does the Bible have to say about the mind? Psalm 139, verse 14 tells us, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And this statement about being fearfully and wonderfully made certainly includes the brain. The Bible teaches us how to have a healthy mind, how to be spiritually minded, and how to think. God covers all bases in the Bible. The Bible tells us how to think. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So God is telling us what to think about. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 read, set your minds and keep them set on what is above, not on the things that are on the earth. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. Set your mind on things above, heavenly things, on the Lord, all that He is and all that He means to us. As far as how to think and have a healthy mind, Jesus taught us not to worry. Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus speaking, the Sermon on the Mount. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? No, worry can't extend your life, but it certainly can shorten it. Worry is not healthy. And Jesus taught us not to worry. Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are of more value than many sparrows. Again, the Lord telling us not to worry. The night before his crucifixion, Jesus told his disciples, let not your heart or your mind, let not your heart be troubled. That's John chapter 14, verse 1. John chapter 14, verse 27, the Lord said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Our heart gets worried and troubled, our minds, so many times, and God is saying, bring it to me. Stop worrying. What do you think I'm here for? The Lord does not want us to worry and tells us so throughout the Bible. In the King James Version of the Bible, the words fear not or do not be afraid is stated 103 times. Do not fear or do not be afraid is in the King James Version of the Bible 103 times. When the children of Israel approached the Red Sea having an attitude of defeat, Moses told them, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. And God meant it, because they all drowned in the Red Sea. That's Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. How many times do we have to hear that word? Fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. If you belong to the Lord, and we do, don't you take care of what belongs to you? You buy a nice item, piece of furniture, a new car, whatever, camera equipment, you're going to take care of it. Oh, we belong to God. He's going to take care of us. You better believe it. And also, if he said, I've called you by your name, name stands for character also in the Bible. That means if he says, I've called you by your name, That means the Lord knows us inside and out, and he will take care of us. And he said, fear not. Worrying is a lack of trust in the Lord, and it is harmful to your health. Worrying can lead to depression. We really don't want to be depressed. It can lead to headaches. We all know that one. It could lead to stomach aches. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, the Lord instructs us to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. How many times will your own understanding make you worry? But then you know what the Lord tells us. Don't worry. 103 times in the Bible. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace. We all need peace today. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. Regarding positive input for your mind, and your mind needs positive input to keep healthy. So regarding positive input for the mind, what kind of positive input can we put in our minds? Psalm 104, verses 33 and 34. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Well, if your meditation of Jesus is sweet, don't you think that will help your mental state? My meditation of him will be sweet. And the first part of the verse says, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Did you ever put on, I'm sure you have, but think about it, praise and worship. Put on your CDs or turn whatever mechanism you use, something on your phone. You put on praise and worship, and you notice how uplifting it is. And it says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God. You know why you feel good? Because God inhabits praise. That's scriptural. Psalm 22, verse 3. So these are positive things that you could do for the health of your mind. Something else that is healthy for your mind. Psalm 92, verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Gratitude is good for you. You know why? Because when you're grateful to the Lord, you're thinking of what he's done for you. You're starting to count your blessings. It's uplifting for your mind. Your mind needs positive input. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. I love this psalm. Bless the Lord. Know what bless means? To adore on bent knee. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all his benefits. Bless the Lord. Praise him. It's good for your mind. And God is worthy of all our praise. Forget not one of all his benefits. Count your blessings. It's uplifting. What about protection for the brain and the mind? In the physical realm, God provides protections for the brain. You have a skull, which is protection for the brain against shock and injury. In the spiritual realm, the Lord has provided the helmet of salvation to protect our minds. You can find that in Ephesians chapter 6 and 7. It's part of the armor of God, where the Lord says to the Apostle Paul, put on the helmet of salvation. God has provided the helmet of salvation as a protection for our minds, and we'll speak a little bit more about that later. We want our minds protected from the thoughts, the worries, the doubts, the disturbances, the anxieties that Satan would try to defeat us with. You need that helmet of salvation, because Satan is throwing arrows at your mind, trying to get you down, depressed, get you into doubt and worry. Put on the helmet of salvation. and his arrows won't be able to penetrate it. We need the helmet of salvation as a defense from any deception, lies, temptations, terrors, and paralyzing fears of the enemy. Remember this, if the devil could penetrate your mind, he could reach your heart. The helmet of salvation will protect your mind. Another protection for the brain in the physical realm is something called the blood-brain barrier. Some of you may have heard about this. I know Brother Mike has studied the mind, but I'll briefly describe it. You have something in your brain called the blood-brain barrier as part of the circulatory system in your head. Briefly, I mean briefly because it's very important, the blood-brain barrier is part of the circulatory system in the brain. It functions to protect the brain from pathogens, infections, and toxins. It also allows the vital nutrients to reach the brain for proper function. But it is a protection for your brain to keep out toxins and infections, your blood-brain barrier. In the spiritual realm, we need the blood of Jesus as the blood-brain barrier to protect and guard our minds from harmful and negative thoughts. So just as we have as a part of our brain circulation, our cranial circulation, you've got that blood-brain barrier over there protecting your brain from infections and toxins, we need the blood of Jesus to protect our brains. The blood of Jesus to protect our brains, our minds from harmful and negative thoughts. These harmful and negative thoughts could be worries, fears, anxieties, doubts, anger, hate, jealousy, envy. We need to ask the Lord to wash our brains, our minds, with His blood, and to protect our minds with His blood. Have His blood in the spiritual realm as a blood-brain barrier. So all the harmful things of the devil can't get through. We want to have positive thoughts from the Lord in our minds. Thoughts such as love, forgiveness, faith, trust in the Lord, seeking for and accepting God's will for our lives, gratitude, counting our blessings, as we said, and having a giving attitude, all this positivity in our brains. We need the Lord to protect our minds because Satan attacks the mind and wants to control it. Because as we said before, the devil knows that if he could control a person's mind, he could control the person. He also knows that the mind is the doorway to the heart. Again, we need the helmet of salvation. So what about control of the mind? If the mind is that fantastic and it is a phenomenal organ, of what we even know about it, the mind is greater than what medical science knows. We need to allow the Lord into our minds and let Him control it. We don't want to be in control of our own mind. No, we think we should control our minds. The Lord's got to control our minds, otherwise we get in trouble and plenty of it. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Presenting our members as instruments of righteousness certainly includes the brain, the mind. Present it to God. Give it to Him. We need to present our minds to the Lord and to let Him control it. Whoever controls your mind controls you. Why not let God control your mind? How many minds? Put on the TV. How many minds are under the control of Satan today? You think all the burning of buildings and precincts and how many buildings were on fire during these riots? That's Satan in control of the person's mind. We want the Lord in control of our minds. You see, missionaries going out, doing good for people. People preaching the pure word of God. That's God in the control of your mind. And the Lord wants to control each one of our minds. He can only do it if we let Him. Sure, God could do anything, but you have to give Him your mind if you want Him to control it. We need to present our minds to the Lord and let Him control it. Our minds must be controlled by Jesus. If the Lord cannot control your mind because you won't give it to Him, He can't control you. What about the transformed, the renewed mind? What should we be doing with our minds? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We want to have our minds renewed and transformed through washing with the blood of Jesus. Ask the Lord to wash your mind with His blood, and He will. Why do we want our minds renewed and transformed? Because, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. That's Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. So as a man or woman thinks, so he or she is. That's why we want our minds renewed and transformed. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, speaks about conform to the image of His Son. How can this confirmation, transformation develop in our lives to be conformed to the image of His Son? We can begin this transformation process by making every effort to give our minds to Jesus. Let Him fill our minds so that His thoughts define who we are. I mean, basically, your mind defines who you are. Let Jesus fill your mind so that His thoughts define who you are. Let His values become your values. This applies to all aspects of our lives. His values become our values. Allow Jesus to set your priorities in every aspect of our lives. How many people have their priorities wrong today? They're not putting God first. If your priorities are proper and governed by Jesus, He's at the top of the list. He's absolutely number one. Becoming filled with Jesus and His doctrine and teaching would be on the top of that priority, should be on the top of that priority list. A person may have the attitude that I'll think what I want to think and process information as I want. It's my mind. No, it's not. God created your brain, your mind, and it belongs to Him. The Bible tells us, here's a good one, that our thoughts are subject to Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. We take every thought to make it obedient to Christ. All our thoughts should be captive to Jesus. How does that work? I can remember once the televangelist Joyce Meyer spoke about this. Take every thought captive to Jesus. So after reading the book, The Battlefield for the Mind, which she mentions that, I tried it. I was thinking about something. I said, Lord, what do you think about this thought? And immediately the thought came back to my mind, stop judging. See, every thought has to be taken captive to Jesus. The Bible verse, we take every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The transformed mind will be subject to the authority of Jesus. No, we always talk, and it's so true, even microbes such as viruses are subject to the authority of Jesus. Well, we should be too. We have to be subject to the authority of Jesus. Our minds have to be subject to the authority of Jesus. If the mind has been transformed and covered with the blood of Jesus, which we pray for, He will give you wisdom in decision-making. Life is full of decisions. You all made the proper decision to be here this morning. Some decisions are very important and even crucial. Let the Lord make the decision for you. Susan Haig, so nice, made the decision, I'm going to come to church this morning. The Lord controlled her decision. She listened to the Lord. Thank you, Susan. If Jesus makes a decision for you, you will never, and I mean never, go wrong. How could you if Jesus makes a decision for you? You can't go wrong. But let Him make a decision. If there's something important that you have to do, and you're not sure you've got an important decision to make, you start making that decision on your knees. You pray to Jesus. He will guide you. He'll take it into His hands, and you'll see that when He makes a decision, it's the proper decision. Okay? The transformed mind will be set on the Lord and pleasing to Him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, again, set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on things that are on the earth. Now, here comes a real nice topic about the mind. I think it's beautiful. Listen close. We all need it. Healing of the mind. Does your mind need healing this morning? And, you know, you don't have to be considered mentally challenged, and we pray for those people. It's a very sad thing. I think it's very sad when you see a person mentally challenged. I really do. I've seen it quite a bit in my lifetime. Very, very sad. But we all need the healing of the mind. You don't have to be mentally challenged to need a healing of the mind. We all need a healing of the mind. Do you need help with improper thoughts or thought patterns? Do you have sorrow and hurts in your mind? Sorrows and hurts, maybe from many years ago, and you cannot get relief from them. Do you have anxieties? Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you have fears? That includes worry. Fear is not from God. He wouldn't do that to you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. All comes from God. We need to genuinely accept Jesus into our minds. We've accepted the Lord into our hearts. We need to accept Him into our minds. Jesus is very good at relieving and healing sorrows and hurts in a troubled mind. We need to genuinely accept the Lord into our minds because we need to give Him control of our minds. We want to accept Jesus into our minds because we need Him to wash our minds. And our minds need to be washed. To wash our minds with His blood and transform it to be in line with His heart, our mind to be in line with His heart, His will, and His desires for our lives. This morning, we just want to spend a little bit of time in prayer. We want to accept the Lord into our minds and let Him wash our mind, heal it, control it, transform it, and fill it. So you could stay in your seats to come to the altar. Just pray. If you haven't given your mind to the Lord this morning, give it to Him. If there's something heavy in your mind, bring it to the Lord. Ask the Lord to wash your mind, to control your mind, to transform it, and to fill it. And then if someone could lead us in a corporate prayer after some moments of just presenting our minds to the Lord,